After listening to the news about the Cold War, I'm worried about the people of the world. In thinking it over, Mr. President, I have a plan. Get all the leaders together who want a war and let them fight it out. Pretty good advice, right? Now, I've never been to war. Thank God. But some of you have. And I'm sure sometimes you think, just let those who want to do the fighting get together and do the fighting. Why involve everyone else in the war? War is a terrible thing, but it's inevitable in our world. We read in Matthew 24, verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. You know, World War II qualifies as one of the worst wars in modern times. In all, there were 61 countries involved with over 1.7 billion people, three-part of the world's population. Those countries took part. In terms of money spent, World War II was the most expensive in modern times, with over $1 trillion spent. But the cost of human lives was astronomical. 5 to 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust, 25 million military deaths, and 30 million civilian deaths. War is costly. Some aspects of war are never right. But regardless of the war, we have to be willing to support those who fight on our behalf. Amen? We are so grateful for our veterans today, and we are here to support you. We appreciate your sacrifice. You are willing to sacrifice the ultimate sacrifice if that's what's required. I want our veterans to just stand for a moment, please. If you're a veteran, if you've served in the military, stand just for a moment. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom to assemble. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran who salutes the flag, who serves under the flag. Give him another round of applause. We appreciate it. We're thankful for our United States veterans. But I want us to talk this morning about a different kind of veteran. Veterans in the faith of Jesus Christ. Are you a veteran in the faith of Jesus Christ? You know, we want to be. Whether we've been a Christian for 5 minutes or for 50 years, we should all strive to be veterans in our faith. And any veteran knows it's important to obey the commander, right? Those of you who've served, it's important to obey your commanding officer. It's the same thing in our faith as well. There was an Air Force major who was promoted to colonel, and he got a nice brand new office, and he was pretty proud of himself, to say the least. Well, the first morning he was in his new office and he was unpacking boxes, and an airman knocked on the door. He said, "Mr. Colonel, sir, may I speak with you?" Well, the new colonel wanted to impress the young man, so he quickly grabbed the phone and he acted like he was really busy as the airman stood in his doorway, and he said, "Yes, sir, General, I'll pass this message on to the president right away." And he hung up the fake phone call. And he said, "Now, boy, what did you want?" "Nothing too important, sir," said the airman. "I just came to hook up your telephone." Not what he expected, to say the least. You know, in life, some people have authority, and other people pretend to have authority, right? You ever been around someone who pretends to have authority? Some people actually have authority, and other people just wanna have the authority. That's W-A-N-N-A, right? Wanna have the authority. We're familiar with that. You know, we've preached on 2 Timothy when we talked about commitment over the last several weeks. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes to the young preacher, he says, "Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. You know, the president might be the commander-in-chief in our armed forces, but for the Christian, you know who our ultimate commander-in-chief is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen? He's our commander-in-chief. We read in Ephesians 1:22, and God placed all things under his, Jesus' feet, and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. Shortly after joining the Navy, a new recruit asked his officer for a pass so that he could go off base and attend a wedding. The officer gave him the pass, but he informed the young man, he said, son, you'll need to be back here by 7 p.m. Sunday. Well, you don't understand, sir, said the new recruit. I'm in the wedding. No, you don't understand, son. You're in the Navy. We have to obey the commanding officer. Jesus is our commander-in-chief. He tells us in Luke chapter 6, 46, actually we're asked a question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know, no matter where we are in our faith, no matter where our life circumstances have us right now, it's our job to do what Jesus says. Amen? It's our job to follow our commanding officer and to be veterans in the faith of Christ. We have to listen to our commanding officer, which is Jesus. We want to do what he says. And also, to be a veteran in our faith, we have to engage the enemy. Every soldier knows that's part of war, right? Engaging the enemy. You know, there's an 18-year-old boy who stole a police cruiser in the city of Seattle. And he was driving this police cruiser all around downtown Seattle, causing all kinds of havoc. And the call went out to all the other officers, be on the lookout for the stolen cruiser. We got to stop him. Well, Officer A spots the cruiser. So he begins chasing the young man, but he's driving so erratically he loses him, and the boy's gone before he knows it. So Officer A stops in the middle of the road just to kind of assess everything, get his bearings, and figure out if he could figure out or decide where this boy would have gone. Well, as he stopped there in the middle of the road, Officer B sees his cruiser stop, and he thinks, that's an odd place to stop. That must be the missing cruiser. So he rear-ends the Officer A's car. Officer A and B both get out of the car, and they start shooting at each other. And according to the police spokesperson, 20 shots were exchanged before Officer A and B realized they were shooting at each other. That's a crazy story, right? But we see this in the church sometimes, don't we? Some church members do more shooting at each other than they do the real enemy. You know, we're blessed here. We don't have a lot of that here, and I'm thankful for that. But we've all grown up, we've all heard stories, and a lot of times, church members fire shots at one another. And as Christians, we are at war, right? We are at war, but we're not at war with each other, amen? When we fight each other, we're helping the enemy. And there's nothing Satan loves more than a good old-fashioned church fight, right? We want to fight against those urges. And we want to be focused on fighting him. He's our real enemy. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's our enemy, not each other. Joe Louis became heavyweight boxing champion of the world in 1934, and he held that title 25 times since 1934. And a reporter asked him one time, he said, Joe, how do you knock out your opponents so quickly? In every fight, it happens so quickly. How do you do that? Two things, Mr. Louis said. First, I study my opponent until I know him better than he knows himself. And secondly, I make a plan of attack. Church, in our spiritual battles, in our battles against Satan, do we find ourselves being naive about him? Do we find ourselves maybe not even recognizing his tricks and the things he does to us because we're not planning for that? You know, Satan has a plan of attack against us. He wants to drag us down. You know, things might be going well, and when things are going well, watch out, because that's when he's going to rear his ugly head. And he wants to pull us down. How do we fight that? First of all, we got to know it's coming. We got to plan for it. We have to have a plan of attack. Draw close to Jesus. Know his word. What is your spiritual plan of attack? An old deacon used to pray every Wednesday night at the close of service. And his prayer was very predictable. Y'all ever heard a predictable prayer? You know, he said the same thing every time he prayed. And at the end of his prayer, he would always say, "And Lord, please clean out all the cobwebs in my life." That would be the end of his prayer every Wednesday night. And people got kind of tired of hearing it. They'd heard it every Wednesday night for months and months, maybe years. And finally, one guy had enough, right? Sometimes we just have enough, right, as people. That happens. So this Wednesday night, the deacon says his prayer, and he gets to the end, and he says, "And Lord, please clean out all the cobwebs in my life." The man had enough. He stood up and he said, "No, Lord, don't do it. Don't clean the cobwebs. Kill the spider." Now let that sink in for a moment, right? What's the point? Sometimes the point is sometimes we're focused on the cobwebs, but we don't even think about the spider, right? And the spider is the one spinning the cobwebs. And when you clean out a cobweb and you don't kill the spider, what happens to the cobweb? Comes back. That's right. We all have cobwebs in our lives. Maybe other people sometimes are cobwebs in our lives. But our enemy is Satan. We got to fight against him, church. We do this by spending time with God in prayer, knowing what his word says, arming ourselves with the gospel, being together just like we are this morning, sharing with each other our struggles. Maybe we don't do that with everyone, but get close with a few people. Know that you can trust them and share your struggles. Pray for each other. Have prayer warriors in your life. Give and serve. You know, that's one of the best ways to combat Satan, because when we are giving and serving others, we're going to be blessed by God. And our focus is not going to be so much on the cobwebs and the spider, but it's going to be on the blessings God wants to send us. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, Ron read this for us just a moment ago. Peter writes, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Man, I love this imagery here because we can all understand this, right? What a roaring lion looking to eat is doing. "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Church, you're not alone in your struggles. One of Satan's greatest tools is to make us believe that what we're dealing with, no one else has ever faced it. No one else is going through it. No one else struggles. Why am I struggling? God's word promises us we're not alone. We have him, first of all, right? And he's never going to leave us when we're believers in him. But secondly, we have each other. And we all struggle. We all struggle with the same things. Some consequences are worse than others. Some things are more public than others. But there ain't a one of us that gets through this life without a struggle. Amen? We need each other. And we need to realize that when we're engaging the enemy, it's not each other. It's not other people. It's Satan. Practice your faith. That's the best way to engage the enemy. And you know what? This may seem a little weird. But if you feel like Satan's after you this morning, view that as a blessing. Because when Satan is after us, it means he doesn't have us, right? But when we never have any conflict or struggle or never face anything that even is remotely negative, we got to ask ourselves, who am I living for? Am I living for Christ, who promises me I'm going to suffer and have struggles and conflict because I follow him? Or am I living the way the world wants me to live? If you're struggling this morning, thank God for the struggle and ask him to help you through. Be a veteran in your faith. Engage the enemy. And finally, every veteran knows you got to fight till the end, right? The job's not done till the job's done. Jesus says in Matthew 10:22, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Matthew 24:12-14, "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm till the end be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Sometimes in the battle, church, we gripe, we complain. complain, right? Things aren't right. There's a young man, a young recruit who had just joined the army, and he turned his nose up at the army stew. And he went to the mess sergeant. He said, "This stuff is awful. Don't I have another choice?" "Sure," said the sergeant. "You have two choices. Take it or leave it." Right? Those of you who have been in the army probably understand that, right? Take it or leave it. Church, in this battle, we're called to fight in this war. But we're not called to sit around and gripe about what we don't have or what we don't like. We want to be fighting the way God wants us to. And we want to make sure that we're following His will in our lives. Gentleman Jim Corbett was another heavyweight boxing champion in the 19th century. And he wrote the following. "Fight one more round. When your feet are so tired that you have to shuffle back to the center of the ring, fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to guard yourself, fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and blue, and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would just crack you in the jaw and put you into a deep sleep, fight one more round. Remember that the man who fights one more round is never whipped. Fight one more round. And after that, fight another round." Sometimes this life makes us feel like we've been in several rounds of boxing, doesn't it? Sometimes that's what happens to us. But you know what? If you're a Christian this morning, you know who the winner is? You are. You know why? Because of Jesus Christ. So when we say fight to the end, it's easy, if we understand the concept, it's a little easier to realize we can keep fighting because we already know the outcome, right? Why would we ever surrender? Would anyone in here surrender to a loser? No. No. Why would we ever surrender to Satan? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves when we're in the midst of these struggles. It's easy when things are going well to say, "No, we'd never surrender. No, we know we win." We understand that. But it's in the midst of those struggles, we need God's help. We need His Spirit to remind our hearts, it's going to be okay no matter what, because I have a home prepared for you. Fight one more round. Never give in. Be veterans in your faith of Jesus Christ, because you've already won. Amen? Amen. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. "I have fought the good fight," Paul writes. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Can we say that? Can we say this till our dying day? You know, a philosopher in London, England, who died in 1873, he said the following. He said, "War is an ugly thing, but it is not the ugliest of things. The decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling is much worse. The person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight is a miserable creature." There's some things worth fighting for, church. Freedom in this country is worth fighting for, and we're so thankful to those who've done that, those who've sacrificed in so many ways and continue to sacrifice. But being veterans in our faith, in our Christian faith, is even more important. Because that has eternal consequences, has eternal opportunities, and eternal blessings. To be a veteran in the faith, Jesus says, you got to be reborn. Come to me, repent, be baptized into me, where you receive my Spirit that dwells in you. Life ain't going to be easy. It's not going to all be a bed of roses. In fact, it's going to be the opposite most of the time. But guess what? You fight to the end. You engage the enemy, not other people. Not each other. Engage the enemy and fight to the end. You will have a home with me forever. That's our promise, church. There's an article that came out last week about a former commander-in-chief, President Jimmy Carter. In 2015, President Carter was diagnosed with brain cancer. Some of y'all might remember reading that. And he told his church family in 2015 that he was completely at ease with death. And he said he could be completely at ease with death because he knew the eternal life that awaits him on the other side. That is peace. Amen? That is peace. Even in the midst of all these struggles we go through in life, that is the peace that Jesus Christ can give us. And that peace is available to each and every one of us who who will call him Lord and Savior and be obedient to him. We don't have to fear death, but we can be at ease with it because Christ has saved us. And we know the battle has already been won. Don't give up. If you're close to giving up, don't give up today. Be veterans in your faith, because you know the things we go through here right now are temporary. They're short. And in the grand scheme of things, they're nothing more than a blip on the radar. But you have an opportunity to live with God in eternity forever. Don't lose sight of that. If there's anyone here this morning who wants that peace, we can help you find that. If you have that peace, but you've walked away from it, or you've lost your way, or you need the prayers of the church, there's no shame in that, church. We all lose our way from time to time in this life. That's why we need each other. We need to pray with each other. We need to pray for each other and support each other. So if there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.